Where we invest our time and our resources says a lot about what our priorities are and what we love. Pastor Tim challenges us today to return to that first love if we have lost our passion to mature in Christ.
Well, a Christian maturity, what does that mean? I hope that you've been thinking about that question all week. I started off every sermon since February with that question. Now, the Christian maturity, what does that mean? I hope that you've been dealing with that. You've been having it in your spirit. I hope in your quiet time with the Lord, and when you open up to God's Word, that that thought is your mind, that I want to grow in Him. I want to grow. I want to mature in the faith. You know, here's something. Time is precious, isn't it? Time is precious. It really is. And it's flying by. I'm 52 now. And it's a lot. And I had, when I was a young man, I still am young, but I've had people tell me the older you get, the faster it goes. And that's really true. I can understand that now. But at the time is precious. It really is. You know, we often say things, I don't have enough time in the day. You ever said that before? Yeah. I don't have enough time in the day. I don't have the time for you or for you or for you. Sometimes we don't even have the time with our family. Sometimes we don't even make the time for our family. You know, have you ever noticed that we make time for the things that we love? That we make time for things that we love. I like to deer hunt, therefore I make time for it. Turkey season's around the corner. Got a lot of turkey hunters in here. We'll make time for it. We make time for things that we love. I love my wife. I love Heidi and the children. And sometimes I will put them on the list with deer hunting and turkey hunting, and I'm just begin to find out as the years go by that I don't even, that they shouldn't be on that list. You know? They shouldn't even be on that list. Let me finish. They shouldn't be on the same list, is what I'm trying to say. I got myself in trouble here. When I was writing this down, it sounded good in my head, but it's not coming out here really good at all. But I'm saying is we make time for the things that we love. We do. I love my wife, Heidi. We went out last night with some friends, and it was great. I enjoyed it. I enjoy it. But I really do think that you have to get the point. I really do think you get the point. But what if we allow things in our life that occupy our time that we really don't love? But it happens, doesn't it? We allow things to come in our lives that, you know, we possibly don't even like. But we allow it to occupy us. We allow it to come in our life, and it steals away things. Well, maybe today we need all to just kind of sit back and look to see what we love. And you say, well, how do we do that? You can, right now in your heart and mind, is what do I to do with my time the most? Will pretty much determine what you love the most. I do. I believe that. I look in my own life. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Interesting scripture here that we're going to read today. Revelation chapter 2. It says, to the angel of the Lord, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient in endurance. I know that you cannot tolerate evil doers. You have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them to be false. I also know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for the sake of my name, and that you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then from what you have fallen and repent, and to do the works you did at the first. If not, I will come to you, and I will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. This is to your credit. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans. Close enough? Somewhere in there. Which I also hate. Let anyone who has an ear to listen what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give permission to eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. That's a good news today, isn't it? Amen. That's some good news. I think today that we can take a look at this scripture, and we can see some things that God really wants to show us today. A revelation written by John. He's out by himself, and he has a vision, and he begins to unveil the truth. We oftentimes will take a look at this book and think it's always saying something about the future. Well, let me tell you something today. It has a word for us right now. It has a good word for us right now. And so I don't want us to be beginning to think that something's got to happen out there and something has to change or that. I want to hear God's the truth through this scripture now. Is that he's trying to get across to the churches that there's some the things in them that are really good, but there might be something there that we have to change. He's writing to this first church. The Ephesians were a great people. It was a great church. But he says here that he holds the seven stars in his right hand. You might say, what does this mean, that he holds the seven stars? That he's holding these seven churches in his hand. And that word hold there is not mean something, you know, that we just hold like these glasses I have. But literally it's saying, I'm holding you tight. I've got you in the palm of my hand, church. I got you right there, and I'm holding on to you. I'm holding on to you. I'm not going to let you go. I've got you in my grasp, and I want you to understand that I'm holding on to you. Which you're my church. Jesus says, you're my church, and I'm holding on to you. And I don't want to let you go. I don't want to let you go. I believe today, I look at our church, and I sure hope that he's holding on to us, and I can sense that in that he's holding us today in the palm of his hand. But here the Lord begins to see some things, and John begins to write them down. He says, I know your works. That's a good thing, isn't it? I know your works. I see things that look good that you actually are doing in your church. Jesus knows what we're doing. We say amen to that? Here at Freedom Church, Jesus knows what's happening and what is going on in our church body. He sees it. He is watching. My dad said something to me one time. We had a situation. A guy began to come, and his family began to come, and he said these words to me, and I never will forget these words that my dad said to me. He said, son, God is watching on how we handle this. God is watching how we handle this. I say that from that point on, it really stuck in my heart and mind that God is watching. He's watching how we deal with circumstances, whatever. And you might say that, you know, sometimes when we preach this, is that we should try to preach it to an individual. And we will get to that. But this letter was written to the whole the church. And he says, I see some things that I see that you're doing. He said, I'm watching over those things. I see you're under toll, which meaning that you should be tired by now. You should be a weary in spirit. But you're working hard. And you have ended enduring patience within the ministry. You're at a teaching. You're doing what a church is supposed to do. And you're doing it with a patience. Because one of the worst things that a ministry can do is get impatient with the Lord. I begin to move ahead on what he desires of us. I've seen it happen over and over again. Somebody gets a grand idea, and it might be directly from God, but he says, be careful, not right now. And it usually happens when we go to build something. And the church gets into a bunch of debt, then all of a sudden it's chaos, and then it's a lot of work after that. But this church here seems like that they're doing some good things. My speech is not good today, is it? I'm getting there. Y'all just bear with me. If you don't know me, I stutter. You say, well, we can see that. But, and you cannot tolerate people that are EVIL, evildoers. Here's the thing. Here's the misconception here that is often preached here. Is that this scripture here, a lot of, and I'm not, when I say this, I'm not being judgmental to others that have preached this. We often preach this looking out into the world and saying, look at evil, that you cannot tolerate them. John is talking to the church. He's not talking to someone out there on the street that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. He says, you're looking within yourselves here, and you cannot tolerate that. You have done some tests, and you have shown that these people are not apostles. We're not talking about people outside the church. The ones inside here is that there's something happening here. You see some have come in that are not what they say they are. You know, we have to think that we have to change people. We always often think as we have to change people. You know what? I cannot change anyone. Amen. But I can present the gospel to them. Amen. And I'll allow God to do the changing. But we as leaders in the church, and in this church here, they saw some that have come in and that they're doing things, and they spotted those things because that causes a lot of chaos in the church. It is our job in the church to make sure that people are living the life that they say that they're living. We as people of Freedom Church, when you claim that you're a member of Freedom Church, that means something. That should mean something to you. That should mean something to you that says, you know, I want to do the right things. I want to live a life that God has called me to live. I do not want to be a bad example inside the church, and I don't want to be a bad example outside the church. Is that he calls us to this a standard within the church. You know, there's this a misconception, I think, that's going on. Just because we stand for the truth against some social things doesn't mean that we hate people. Amen. Understand this. I just want to bring this in. Because we stand firm against different things that are in our society doesn't mean that we hate a society. I tell people all the time. I tell individuals all the time that it doesn't matter who walks through that doors, through those doors, is I'm going to love them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to care for them. But I do know as a pastor of a church is I'm not going to put somebody in a leadership that's not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. A lot of folks can come and they can be a part and they can sit on a Sunday morning. They could come and be even a part of a small a group. But I'm not going to put people up that I know that's never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior that is not living in the life that God has called them to live. Amen. Because it causes chaos within the church. Amen. It doesn't mean that I have any love that is less for them as I do someone else. It just means that God calls us to protect His church. And in this church here, they says, we spot those, and we don't allow them. And I'm reading between the lines. We don't allow them to dictate what is going on in our church. He says that these things are beginning to happen. So it looks like things are very good. Things are great within this church. But then here it comes. John is seeing this and he's writing this down. But Jesus says, "But I have this against you. I have this against you. I have this against you." Once again, Jesus cares how his church is acting. He cares if we're doing and being like him. Listen to this. The church should stand out and not just blend in. But it's the question is how we stand out is the big question. That's the big question is how do we stand out? For many years, we stood out with a big sword and beating people side of the head. I don't want to stand out that way. There's a way to stand out and not blend in. But this church here seems to be standing out. But they could have been standing out for all the wrong things. I don't know. But he says this. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Some say that you have lost your first love. No, if you lose something, then you don't really know where to go find it. They abandoned it. In other words, in this word here in the Greek says they divorced themselves from it. As a husband and wife. This is how strong this word is. Says you have abandoned the love you had at first when this church was founded. It was in love with the Lord. It was in love with one another within the church. It was in love with folks outside the church, I believe. It says, but you have abandoned. You have to divorce yourself from it. And that word love there in the Greek is not some a friendly love. It's an agape love. It's an agape love. It's that kind of love that it doesn't demand its own way. That type of love that is never self-seeking. It's that type of love that you always put someone before yourselves. It says somewhere along the line you have abandoned that. You were one time a church that sat on a hill. And people would ride by and say, hey, that's a great place. That's a place of healing. But somewhere along the line that you begin to dot every I and cross every T, that came more important than God's love. Somewhere along the line, you begin to fall back into how to live by the law instead of under God's grace. Somewhere along the line. You abandoned it. And we could go into a long spiel on why we abandoned it. And I think one of the things is that, as I started at the beginning, is once we were in love with the Lord and in love with His church and His ministry. Uh-oh. Turkey season's here. Uh-oh. I started dating someone, so... A small group on Wednesday nights, you know, we want to go do something else. Begin to abandon, and the church itself begins to abandon that soup kitchen. Begins to abandon a celebrate recovery. Begins to abandon, and we get turned in. It says, well, I want to make sure that all my needs are met. Because if we have the agape love of Jesus Christ, it's never self-seeking. And as a member of a local body church, we should always be seeking, always trying to figure out, how can I edify the church? We should always be hoping and saying, Lord, use me in a way to build the church up. Use me. Use me. I will say this to you. If Freedom Church that goes AWOL, it's my fault. As your pastor, it would be my fault. That's responsibility that God has put on me as your pastor. Because somewhere down the line, I abandoned what he had called me to do. And when I abandon God's call, it makes it very simple and easy for you to abandon it also. When churches begin to compromise the truth, you have to abandon that first love. We're not going to abandon the truth. And so I'm so thankful for God's word. He says, okay, Lord, you kind of put something down on us. Here it is. Now, we've been doing all of this stuff. We've been clearing house, getting rid of everyone within here that's really not what they're supposed to be. What are we supposed to do? Beautiful words. Wonderful words. He says, remember. I love it. Remember. 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 I tell people all often that are saved and welcome to the Lord, let your mind go back when you were lost. You know? Let it go back to how life was. Remember that life from time to time and say, "Ooh, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go back there." But once we get saved and the church is doing great things and we see all of this happening, is there's a tendency for whatever reason that we get concentrated on doing God's word, but our hearts begin to fade away from it. It becomes a toll. It becomes something like, I got to go to celebrate recovery again. If I don't go, grace is going to call me. And it gets to the place, and I'm not saying that if you get burned out on something that is wrong and bad, because usually when people get burned out a lot of times, it's because someone else has stepped up and says, "I'll do it." I do it. Listen to me today. Remember from what you have fallen. Then he says, repent. He says, in other words, recognize that you have abandoned, you have chosen to abandon your first love. You have chosen to abandon what Jesus was doing in such a mighty way. I shared this real fast, and you heard me share it before when I was in school, when I was in college. James and I went to a wonderful church, and his wife too. And boy, that church was on fire. It was unbelievable. Folks were getting saved everywhere. It was happening. They had about 1,000. I mean, it was at the balcony and stuff. We'd go in and be in choir and worship. That's when this type of worship was way back then. They were ahead of their at a time in some things. And boy, it was unbelievable. Well, the senior pastor and the worship leader wouldn't come under his authority, and things began to push back and forth a little bit, you know. That was in 1991, 92, 93. It just now is recovering from that. I know the pastor now is doing a great job with that church. It's just now recovering. And it can happen anywhere if we lose sight of our love for Jesus Christ. If we abandon those things. It says, remember from what you have fallen. Repent and do them again. In marriage counseling, one of the things I always ask when somebody comes in and they're I said, what do y'all used to do when you're dating? They said, well, we were lost. You really want to know? I go, no. I say, no, seriously. They go, and it's interesting. I get this look. Think about it. said, remember when she walked into the room? You're like, whew. Remember when he walked into the room and he said, there, my man, you know? Heidi does that now. So I open up the stage, she goes, whew, there's my man. It says, remember, it's the same process, it's the same thing. It's remember how beautiful it was to see someone that could come to know Jesus. Amen. Remember those moments when you sat with a brother or a sister. Yes, they needed to be out of discipline, but you sat with them instead of judging them when they were down, kicking them when they're down, that you were the one that went across the aisle and says, I'm going to sit with your brother and sister. I know the things are not good, but I want you to know that I love you and I want to I claim you. Amen. Into the body. There was a time those things happened. There was a love that you had. There was a love that you had, that this church had. Your heart would break when a brother or sister needed something. And now you sit and fold your arms and really don't care. You say, I care. Do we really? Do we really care? Do we really? A correction without love is like an ocean without water. Like an ocean without water. And so I'm saying to us today, you might say, and what does all this mean? Well, he throws something in there, these Nicolaitan people. In the Greek, the word means conquer people. Conquer people. Think for a moment here with me. He says, you have abandoned your first love, your agape love that comes from the Father. That love is supposed to be accepting. That love that's supposed to be one that's not selfless. That you have come and you see these. And you have got them out of there, but they are there here to conquer people. The very thing that we don't want to do. But we've come to a place in the church in America, and I was made a side note. That's where we have come a lot of times. We'd rather conquer someone than to love someone. We would rather be in the streets with a sign and to conquer that issue than actually serve someone. In other words, he's saying, don't be like them. I did not come in this world to conquer people. Jesus said, I've come in the world to serve. In other words, if you want to, when it says, if you want to be more than a conqueror, will you use your razor hand strong and say, amen, yeah. And that's true, I do. He says, if you want to be a conqueror, put a towel in your hand. Stand for truth. But when you stand for truth, you better stand with a towel in your hand. That's a conqueror. Often we think a conqueror is standing firm in the truth. That's God. We stomp our feet. I bless God. We better be ready to sit down with someone that's hurting. We better be ready to sit down and wipe some dirty feet. Because that's the gospel that I see. That's the gospel I see. And he says, you know what? You have abandoned that. And he says, remember at the beginning, he holds you firmly, the church in his hand. He says, if you don't repent, listen to this, it's tough. If you don't repent, I'll let you go. He said, I'll let you go. That paradise is no longer. I'll let you go. So we at Freedom Church here, let let's individualize it a little bit here. I want to try to stay true to the text. Just talking to the body, talking to this church. Let's individualize it a little bit. You say, Tim, there was a time that I had a passion for God. I had a passion to serve others. There was a time that every time that there was a moment that a door was open, that we was going to gather together, I'm there. There was a time in my faith that, boy, I tell you, I just want to love someone. I want to come alongside someone. I mean, I want to, I believe in someone. But along the ways, for whatever happens in life and reasons, I abandon that first love. We divorce ourselves from it. Not to make anybody to cry about this, but today, 5 years ago, my dad, he went home to be with the Lord. At that moment, we could have washed our hands and said, it's over. I heard all the whispers behind my back. Not from necessarily you. I heard the whispers. Oh, it's going to fold. It's going to fold. It's not going to make it. And you know why we made it? Because we didn't abandon our first love. That's why we didn't abandon. My dad's vision is strong today. Love God and love people. Love God and love people. But as soon as we abandon that principle and what that really means, He'll let us go. And we'll shut the doors. My hope and my prayer in our Christian maturity, that you're mature enough, listen, that you'll be honest with yourself and say, Lord, show me where I have abandoned my love for you. I allowed all this stuff to occupy me. I have abandoned that first love. If that's you today, He says for you to remember. To remember. I do remember one thing that I miss. I miss my daddy. When he gets in the spirit, he would run, buddy. Choo, choo. What a legacy for me as a young boy and my siblings as a young boy is to watch my daddy just run. I know it's getting late, but I count me. He would run out of the tabernacle, it was open air tabernacle when I was a little boy. He would run out of the tabernacle. He would be just gone. In the pine, somebody says, you know, check on him. He's going to be on back here in a minute. He'll come walking back in, wiping his eyes, you know. A little later on, somebody like a brother was singing today, would sing a song like that. Here he goes again. You know, we need to leave a legacy for our children. To remember those moments. Hardly anyone ever takes off and runs down the aisle. But what hasn't changed? When I see our 7 or 8 get baptized. And my daddy would tell you he would trade running to see someone baptized. Let's not abandon our first love. Be mature enough today to say, Lord, I repent. I repent. That, Lord, I want to be a part of Freedom Church. I just don't want to be someone that just kind of just exists. I'm going to be engaged within the body. That's my prayer for me. That's my prayer for you today. That's my hope and my prayer. I love you very much. And this altar in a minute, is right now, is open for you to come and kneel and pray if you want. Just come down and just pour your heart out to the Lord. Say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. There's no condemnation in Christ. None. Here I am, Lord. He wants you to come to Him and kneel. And so we're going to sing a song. I want you to stand.
There have been times in all of our lives when we have finished watching a show or a movie or doing something and thought, wow, that was a total waste of my time. There have been times when we've spent money or invested ourselves into something and made the decision afterwards, wow, what a waste. There's something we can know without doubt will never be a waste, and that is investing ourselves in Christian maturity. Be challenged this week. Have a good one. Thank you for joining us.